can juggle. Yeah, I'm very talented. Now, also, some of my other talents is that if you give me two TVs, I could watch two TV shows at the same time. I probably could go up to 5 or 6, but I don't have that many TVs. I have the ability to eat cake, ice cream, or any dessert instead of natural and good food, and I could still stay thin, and I still remain healthy, and I could eat that about 6 days or 7 days of the week, just cakes. I would go on with my talents, but I'm sure you guys can already see that I can juggle, and you're impressed with that, and you can't hear anything I say. So, I will now give my balls to my son. Now, I invite you to turn with me before I continue on boasting about all the things I can do. I invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is writing to a second letter to the church in Corinth, following up with some things that he talked about before, but here he's beginning to write to the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1. So 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man who in Christ, who 14 years ago, whether in the body I don't know or out of the body I don't know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, God knows, a man was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man will I boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except in regard to my weakness. For I do not wish to boast, for if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this, so that no one may credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. There's a movie that just came out, Superman Returns. I haven't seen it yet. I plan to go watch it one of these days. But as I was walking through and I saw a poster of this, for some reason, as I was studying this passage, I was reminded of the first Superman I ever saw was Christopher Reeves. That's the first. Of course, there were many Supermans before that, but the first movie is Christopher Reeves. There's a scene in that movie where after Superman saves Lois Lane, they're flying through the sky. And as they're flying through the sky, of course, Lois Lane, Superman would kill me if you heard me call her Lois. So Lois, Mrs. Lane, right, was holding on to Superman with all her might as they're flying through the sky because she's never done this before. She's scared to death. So she has her grip onto him, making sure she doesn't fall. But as the scene goes on, she gets a little bit more comfortable flying in the sky. And so next thing you know, she holds on with one hand and she releases the other one and she begins to enjoy flying through the air. And as the scene continues, she let go a little bit more until she's just grabbing his arm and her arm as she's stretched out, just flying through the air. And a little bit by little bit, her arm, she goes a little bit more, letting go of a little bit more till her hands are just touching. And you begin to sense that she feels that she can really fly, so she is really enjoying this. And you get a sense that she begins to think that maybe I could do this if I let go of him, if I don't touch him, maybe I can fly. So there comes to the point where she's flying, and he's flying, and her hands, she let goes. And the moment she let goes, the music, nice, you know, celestial music stops, and she just starts falling down through the sky. And of course, Superman stops flying, and he looks down as she falls and plummets and bursts into pieces. Okay, that didn't happen in the movie. I'm just seeing if you guys really saw the movie or not. Of course, he goes down, flies down, and picks her up, and he holds on to her. You know, as I'm looking at this passage in Paul, Paul starts with this really, really weird statement about God took this man up to see these great visions in heaven. Now, Paul's referring to himself. Paul saw this great vision in heaven, and he saw these great things, and he heard words and statements that he is unable to express in words. And he had this powerful, moving experience. But Paul says, you know what, I don't want to boast about this. I don't want people to think that I can do this on my own. And the story of Superman, this scene of Superman reminds me of like God and Paul, or God and us. That God can take us into some incredible experiences, we can do some great things, but we have to remember that when we let go of God, that when we're not attached to God, we can never do those things on our own. We don't receive credit, but God receives credit. And so in the sense that what Paul's saying is, I could boast about the revelations, this experience I had, but instead I want to boast about my weakness. I want to boast about all the things I can't do, because that will show how good and how powerful God is, and that will give him glory. So if I boast about what I can't do and then I do it, that'll give tribute to God. I've been gone for about 2 weeks, or 13, 12 days or something like that. And the left 2 Sundays ago, Jessica and I and Jonah went down to see my grandmother who has, to visit her because she had cancer. And I just a side note, it's amazing how a woman who's given 25% chance to beat cancer, has cancer in the bones, that she can beat it. And so it was great news that while we were there, the doctors took a test, and the cancer was gone after the chemo. And so we give God glory for that. And it's amazing. And so that was positive news. And after that, I went to Anderson in Indiana, and I had a conference. This whole Church of God, our movement, we have everyone meets in Anderson, sort of, and all the leaders of our movement are there. And there's a time where worship services, there's times of conferences for learning. And so I just take it as a personal time for me to grow spiritually, for me to learn, for me to grow as a pastor and mature, and to learn things that I don't know. And I must admit, I went to different classes. I went to boring classes, like classes on taxes for pastors and stuff like that. And then I went to classes on church management and leadership. And as I sat through the church leadership classes, and as they talked about the different things of a church, the sort of the healthy-looking church and the positive of policies and the ways of leadership, I began to get very uncomfortable in those classes. Because as they talk about these things of positive movements and positive things in the church, and positive things of leadership, I began to see so many deficiencies in myself. So many things that I don't know. So many things that I don't know how to bring about. So many things that I am lacking. So much, sometimes in a sense I feel like there's a sense of knowledge, so much of knowledge, a mountain of knowledge that I feel like I need to climb, that I'm behind. And I remember we went to one of the services, there was a man speaking about one of the first business meetings the Church of God ever had. And they said before the business meeting, they would have a worship service, and all the pastors would sit on the platform, and they would wait. They would wait for the Spirit of God to come upon one of the pastors, and that person would come up and speak. That wasn't pre-planned. It was whoever God chose that day, that person would get up and he would share the message. And he tells their stories about how during the business meetings they need to pray about a direction, and they didn't know, and so they'd stop and they'd pray and they'd actually wait for the Spirit. They wouldn't move on with the business meeting, but they waited until God spoke. And as I sat there during this sharing, I began to feel, again, it was painful. Because there's these men, these heritage we have, I see and how in their lives, in their spiritual lives, I see how much I'm lacking. Right? Oftentimes I could pray and I wait for God's directions, but I'll go on and say, okay, God will show me later, and I don't wait for it. I see how dependent they were on the Spirit. They were just no one pre-planned, and they just waited for God to guide them. And I saw my deficiencies and how little sometimes I fail to rely on the Spirit. And I remember I was sitting there, and there came a point where it was very depressing. I'm like, there's so much for me to learn. There's so much. There's so many things I'm deficient at. I'm not good at. There's so many things I need to grow on. And there's a sense in that time where I was a little discouraged. And so Paul, in this passage, he says, I could boast about the things I can do, but I'm going to boast about my weakness. And he says in verse 7, he says, because of this surpassing greatness of the revelation, because of this great thing I experienced, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. And so Paul says, okay, to keep me humble, there's this thorn in my flesh. Now, There's not enough detail to know what this thorn is. But what we know about this thorn is that it prohibited him. It slowed him down. There are some theories that it's a physical ailment, whether it's eyesight. We know his eyesight was going bad. Whether it's malaria. He has some signs of malaria, believe it or not. Whether it's the thorn is the Jewish religious leaders who are trying to stop Paul from spreading the ministry. Maybe that they're the thorn. And the list of what it could be goes on. It could be a spiritual thing, as in a spiritual sin that he keeps on stumbling to. It could be certain people, the people he's trying to minister to, how they're not taking on the gospel like he wants them to. And the list goes on. It could be anything that slows Paul's down, that hinders him. It's like this ball and chain on his leg that he just can't move as fast. And so Paul has this thing, this thorn, that is just slowing him down. That if it wasn't there, he could do so much more for God. He could spread more churches and he could do more things. Now, one thing that's neat about this, the fact that we don't know what this thorn is, it makes it easier to relate to us. It's easier to take that thorn and say, you know what, I have one. And I believe that, well, probably everyone here has a thorn. If not right now, you had one soon. I'm sure there's another one coming. Something that is slowing you down. There's a weight on your shoulders. It could be a physical one. It could be something like with your body, it's just not healthy. You just can't move like you used to move, and you just can't do, you're not as agile, you can't move as much, right? Your energy is down. It could be something with your body. It could be a physical person who's always trying to bring you down, whose words are always discouraging, and someone who's not uplifting, who always tells you you can't do things. It could be a spiritual problem, like there's a sin you keep on falling to. Right, a sin that that you, every time you think you can beat it, you keep on falling and you just can't make the right choice. It keeps on getting you. It could be discouragement. It could be your life just isn't settled, that everything's not right and there's too many things out of place, there's too many uncertainties, and all these things sometimes are these thorns that weigh down on our life. There could be sadness, right? Mourning. It could be whatever. There's something in my, I'm not settled. There's nothing right. There are things hindering me that we feel. And maybe you've even prayed out to God and you've cried out to God and said, God, I can't live with this anymore. This thorn, it's weighing down. It wears at me, my conscience. It wears at my emotions. It's over. I just can't live with this. Or maybe you're one of those people that command God, like plead the blood of Jesus over it and say, God, take this away, I command it, and it still doesn't go. And what in the world is going on? Well, Paul prays too. He says in verse 8 that concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. So three times Paul's cried out, God, I want this out of my life. This is slowing me down. I want to do your ministry. I want to do your work. But this thing is just tearing me down. And three times he pleaded over and over, God, take this from me. And Jesus responds. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. I don't know if that's the answer we want to hear. I don't know if that answer is good enough for us. God simply says to Paul, you know what? My grace is good enough for you. All you need is my grace. Right? You just need to depend on me, and that's it. Just look at me. I am all you need, Paul. I will give you the grace that you need to endure this thing. For my power, the power of God, is perfected in those who are weak, those who are low, those who are worn down, who are tired, who are emotionally weary. Those who are sad and depressed. My power is perfected in those who don't have the knowledge, who don't have the stamina. My power is perfected in those people. My power is displayed in those people's life. Because as you are weak, I make you strong. that although you have this chain, although you have this thorn in your life, I, my grace is good enough to rise you above that so that you can still do the things that I've called you to do. And that thorn may still be there, but I will give you the power to do it. You can have more power in your weakness than you have in your strength alone. I think what happens is sometimes when we pray over and over again for God to make this, make my life perfect, get these things out of my life, what we're asking God is for a life without Him. God, make my life perfect so I don't, so I can stand on my own strength and I don't need to rely on you. But these things, this thorn in Paul's life, and I believe the thorns in your life, the reminders of how desperate you are for Jesus, how desperate you are for His grace. And so maybe if you've been praying for years and God hasn't taken it away, maybe you say, okay, God, now this is just going to be an indicator, a reminder to me of how desperate I am to you. It's going to be a reminder to me that I can still do the things you've called me to do. I can still live this Christian life. I can still go out and bless people and minister to people. I can still go out and share about Jesus because you will bring your power be perfected in this. You will bring your power in my weakness. And when people look at me, they will see me doing things that I couldn't do but I have your power. And my actions will give you glory and honor. And so Paul says this. He continues on. He says, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content that with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. I'm fine when these things, when things don't go my way, when I have to carry this burden, when this chain I'm dragging, when this thorn, when I'm dealing with this physical problem, when I'm dealing with this spiritual problem, you know, I'm okay with these things. I'm not going to fall over and die. I can still do your things because those who are weak are made strong. When I was in Anderson, and as I was dealing with some of my depression, I guess, in a sense of lack of things I don't know and lack of things I haven't achieved in knowledge. I actually entertained the thought, and I know probably pastors aren't supposed to entertain this, and if they are, they're probably not supposed to tell their congregation. But I entertained the thought, and I thought, am I doing this congregation a disservice? And because I don't know, maybe I should take time and stop being a pastor and learn all these things first. And like an answer to the prayer that I never prayed to ask, as I was preparing for this message, He said something to me. That really what I wanted, right? All the knowledge and the wisdom to lead a church, what I really wanted was to be able to do this on my own feet. I want to be able to do this without leaning and relying on Jesus. That I just wanted to have it all in my own experience and my own power, that I didn't have to continually go to Him over and over and ask for direction. That's what I was wanting. And I learned that in this passage, it's okay to be weak. It's okay to be lacking. It's okay to have struggles. It's okay to sometimes have these thorns. Because when we're weak, that means whatever we do, whatever good comes from our life, gives God glory. Gives Him honor. And gives Him power. Because the truth is that after I climb one mountain of knowledge, there's going to be a bigger mountain that I won't know. And once I topple that, as I grow in Jesus and I gain knowledge and understanding, there's always going to be something else that I'm not going to be able to do. And we see this throughout Scripture. We see God calling people who lack the knowledge, who lack the experience, but they rely on Him. And throughout Scripture, we see how power is perfected in weakness. How Jesus, in this moment of greatest weakness on the cross, dying, how the power of God brought salvation for everyone. How in everyone, how they claim and they, as God called them and they cry out, God, I can't do it, I'm not good enough. God's power was displayed to their life. I don't know all the things you deal with. I don't know the secrets, the burdens that you carry. I don't know all the sins that you call, that you fall to. I don't know the people that are a discouragement to you, or all the health issues that are on you that you have to deal with. I don't know how some days some of you might wake up and be depressed, don't want to get out of bed. I'm sure some of you wake up just saddened with the deepness of your heart. But I know the words that God said to Paul. And I know the words that God revealed to me. And they're the same words that he has for you. He says, my grace is sufficient. For my power will be perfected in your weakness. Let's pray. Father God, we just come to you. We come to you weak. God, there are things we don't know. There are things we just can't do. There are things that are burdening us. There are chains that we're big giant balls that we have to drag around. We feel slow and heavy, God. Maybe some of us have prayed over and over for you to take these away. But God, now we want to see, you know what, they're going to be indicators. They're going to remind us of how desperate we are for you. This thorn is a reminder of how much we need your grace and how much we trust in your power. And so we surrender to you, God, our weakness. We surrender to you what we have. We surrender to you our life and say, God, it's yours. Bring power through this life. Bring power through this fragile body. And in your name we pray. Amen.